To find out how you can reach Latino USA's listeners, visit us online at latinousa.org/support.
From National Public Radio, it's Latino USA.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal.
Immigration stirs up the debate on health care reform, but are we losing sight of some of our basic truths as human beings?
A nation that does not have the kind of compassion for individuals who are critically ill, it seems to me, goes to the fiber of who we are and who we want to become in this nation.
Also, a tale of two dairy farms in Arizona. One longtime farmer needs workers and can't find them, while other workers live in fear of being deported. That's coming up on Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Stay with us. Joining us to discuss the news affecting the Latino community this week is Jasmine Garz from National Public Radio here in Washington, D.C., in the studio with me. Hello, Jasmine.
Hi, Maria.
So you talked to people at the September 12th march on Washington, basically protests against the president's health care reform proposals. We have this clip from one of the protesters.
I'm here to protest government over-involvement in our lives and overspending. I want them to spend our money, our taxpayer money, like I spend my money in my household, only on essential things. But my sign is about President Obama. He works for the American people. We pay his salary. He hasn't shown the one document that proves that he's eligible to be president, stated in our Constitution, and that's his original birth certificate. He's hiding it from the American people, and he won't release it.
So, Jasmine, this is a protester here in Washington, D.C., and this woman, who is a doctor, says she believes that President Obama is in this country without papers?
She really encapsulates what this protest was all about. This protest was really a potpourri of protesters with a lot of different issues. Discomfort with tax policies, unhappy with the healthcare plan and the possibility that it might cover illegal immigrants. But there was also overwhelmingly in the protests an element of personal distrust of the president. He's an undocumented worker. He's a Nazi. He's a Soviet. He's a communist. You know, it was really overwhelming.
What was, let's just say, that fringe element that's raising really outlandish ideas versus people who are just upset about what's happening in terms of healthcare reform, let's say?
Well, I have to say that while there were a lot of legitimate debate points, they were lost in a sea of fringe element. And, you know, it's also the theory that, you know, if you have a couple of people with very outlandish beliefs and who are very loud, they can lose everybody else. I do have to say that it was a huge protest. I spoke to a policeman and he said that they were estimating 1.2 million.
Many media critics have stated that the September 12th events in D.C. were essentially drummed up by the likes of TV personalities, Fox News' Glenn Beck. A few days after that September 12th rally in D.C., there was another big event here in Washington sponsored by the Federation for American Immigration Reform that was called Hold Their Feet to the Fire 2009 Radiothon. FAIR is an anti-immigrant or anti-illegal immigrant organization. Some have categorized it as a hate group. That would be from the Southern Poverty Law Center. But this particular rally featured talk radio personalities from around the country, most notably CNN's Lou Dobbs. Here's a clip from Dobbs at the event.
But none of those issues would be talked about directly and with the candor and the substance that they are were not for talk radio.
And that's exactly what the opposition can't stand. That's what exactly what groups like the National Council of the Raza and Media Matters and the Southern Poverty Law Center, they don't want a discussion. They want to have a monopoly on the information that the American public gets, and they can't stand the fact that talk radio is out there giving this information to the people.
What was the message that Lou Dobbs and basically the other media personalities, if you will, were trying to say at these rallies?
Yeah, well, this is an event that FAIR has been bringing for a couple of years now, and it's always about illegal immigration since FAIR has brought it. This year, it focused extensively on healthcare reform and illegal immigration, and whether or not illegal immigrants will be covered. And that was really what this was about. Will illegal immigrants be covered? And if so, this is going to be a major, major problem.
So at this point, there's been something of a response. There is now a national call to boycott advertisers for CNN's Lou Dobbs program. What do we know about this national boycott now of Lou Dobbs?
There is now two organizations. One of them is Presente.org, which is headed by activist Roberto Lovato. And it's demanding that CNN drop Lou Dobbs. And also the major Latino rights organizations, including the National Council of La Raza and Media Matters as well, have started dropdobbs.com, in which they're basically demanding that advertisers boycott Lou Dobbs. In fact, National Council of La Raza's Janet Murguia, she issued a statement kind of drawing a link between the fact that hate crimes against Latinos, they've risen double digits in the last couple of years, hate crimes against Latinos, and saying, you know, this isn't just words. It's never just words. Words translate into action eventually.
And we shall see what action continues. Jasmine Garz, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you so much, Maria.
That was Jasmine Garz of National Public Radio. It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Lots of ink was spilled over Congressman Joe Wilson's outburst in the House chamber, but very little has been written about the statement that prompted it. What would a national health care plan look like that didn't cover undocumented immigrants? Now, we're asking the ethical question here, not the political one. So to help us frame these ethical questions is James Walter. He holds the Austin and Anne O'Malley Chair of Bioethics at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles. Jim Walter, welcome to Latino USA.
Well, thank you very much, Maria.
Isn't part of the ethical question here, and I'm not a medical doctor, obviously, but my father is, isn't there something called the Hippocratic Oath, which means that you will do no harm and you will actually serve, that is what your role as a doctor is to help, to cure, to treat. So if you have doctors who believe in the Hippocratic Oath and they are seeing undocumented immigrants showing up at their door in a hospital and they're sick, what happens at that moment? Because the federal government is basically saying, if you treat them, that's because you decide to treat them. We're not going to reimburse. We're not going to support you. We're not going to do anything along those lines.
No, that's correct. So if President Obama's plan goes through, that there will be some kind of public plan. Basically, that means that that's going to be subsidized probably by the government with federal money. And so people in the United States argue in the justice framework that it's our tax dollars that are going into this system and helping individuals who are in the country as citizens or documented immigrants. And therefore, it's unethical for the government to allow undocumented members of society have access to that. Well, yeah, I mean, I think we have to listen to that argument. I don't think that that is an entirely wrong kind of approach to the issue. But then there's the other side, and I think that is the more critical issue, that healthcare is so fundamental to human well-being and flourishing that physicians commit themselves to that goal, that good of health on behalf of others, that they're bound to provide these kinds of services to individuals for their well-being and flourishing. Now, if we looked at this purely from an economic point of view, denying undocumented immigrants is going to mean that they will have to continue to get health care in the way that they're currently getting it, and that is by going to the emergency rooms, which is 10 times the amount of money. And we are bound in this country by laws to provide treatment to people who are in life-threatening situations. You cannot turn these people away. And the problem is that individuals who are in the country without documents obviously aren't going to want to expose themselves. So they wait and they wait and wait while they're ill until now they're so seriously ill that they show up in an emergency room. They can't be turned away. And we're now paying 10 times for the care for these individuals.
You know, one of the things that I'm stuck on, and I'm actually at the end of the show, I've written an essay that touches on this, is how we as a country somehow can benefit by not treating people who are sick, who are part of our society. That's where I kind of get stuck. So not treating undocumented immigrants, I can understand all of the arguments around that. But if they're sick and they're going to therefore make us sicker, then how do any of us, I suppose, from an ethical perspective, how do we thrive?
Well, I think that that's a key question, and it has to do with the kind of character of who we are and who do we want to become. I mean, a nation that does not have the kind of compassion for individuals who are critically ill, it seems to me, goes to the fiber of who we are and who we want to become in this nation. We all have a stake in one another's health, and that's the point that I think that we do not accept or believe in this country. So let me phrase it this way. We have set up a system in which we are all competitors with one another. That is, there's a finite piece of the pie, and we're all trying to get access to a slice of that pie. And we don't want other people in there getting access to that pie because every time they do, our slice of the pie becomes less. Another way of seeing this is that we're all in the same boat together, that we are in a situation in which each one of our well-beings is connected to the well-being of other people in society. We're not fundamentally competitors with each other, although on other levels we may be, but not on the level of fundamental goods that define our well-being and flourishing. So if everybody's well-being is tied to other people's well-being, then that means people being left out diminishes us in a real way. And I think that is one of the key ethical points that really talks not about action, but about who we are and who do we want to become as a people.
Jim Walter, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on Latino USA.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
James Walter is professor of bioethics at Loyola Marymount University. He spoke to us from Los Angeles. Healthcare and immigrants can get people shouting, and the issue of labor is equally emotional these days. But many U.S. dairy farms have become dependent on immigrant laborers from Mexico to help milk and tend to their herds. Work on a dairy farm is tough. Workers get up at 4:30 in the morning and finish long after dark. Over the last two decades, more and more immigrants have been hired on dairy farms, and farmers rely on their work ethic and keen knowledge of animals. For these reasons, dairy farmers want to see a new guest worker program in any new immigration bill. But as you might imagine, it's not as simple as that. Valeria Fernandez, a reporter with our partner, Feet in Two Worlds, spent time at two dairy farms in Arizona and has our story.
It's sunset on a small dairy farm on the outskirts of Phoenix, Arizona. Several dozen cows push their heads through metal bars to reach their dinner of alfalfa hay. Behind them, a green tractor leaves cows of orange dirt. At the wheel is a dairy worker who called Carlos. Sometimes I take a break, he says, and sometimes I work hard. But that's how life is on the farm. Carlos doesn't want to share his real name because he's an undocumented worker originally from Zacatecas, Mexico. It's not easy to live in Arizona without legal papers. The state has laws in place that come down hard on both undocumented workers and the businesses that hire them. That's part of the reason, after 13 years, Carlos wants to go back to Mexico.
Si Dios me ayuda, pienso a lo mejor unos 2-3 años más durar aquí.
God willing, I'm thinking of staying here and working just 2 or 3 more years and then going home.
Si Dios me ayuda y poner algo de qué vivir allá.
It's funny, says Carlos, how little people actually know about where milk comes from and how much it takes to keep a dairy running. Carlos can tell a cow is sick just by looking in her eyes. He'll take the sick cow out of the corral and bring her to an area he calls a hospital. Then he treats the cow until she gets better. One mistake can become an expensive disaster.
When a cow leaves the hospital to go back to the corral, it might still have some medicine in her system. And if I'm not careful, that medicine in the cow is going to spoil all the milk. If you have 1,000 cows like that, all the milk will be ruined.
Here on the farm, Carlos is on call 24/7. He doesn't just work here. He lives here with his wife and 4 children. Their home is a small trailer. It's a safe place away from the city where they could be stopped by the police and deported. Carlos is especially worried about Joe Arpaio, the Maricopa County Sheriff, whose deputies conduct immigration sweeps in Latino neighborhoods.
Él simplemente ya no se va por el hecho de agarrar a los criminales.
He doesn't just go after the criminals, the thieves, those that they really need to catch. He just catches people because of the color of their skin. They'll say, oh, this one is Hispanic. We better pull him over to check his documents.
De que decir, oh, este es hispano, este hay que pararlo a ver si anda, a ver si trae documentos o no.
Many families are hoping to see immigration reform soon, says Terry Green Sterling. She's writing a book about the realities faced by families like Carlos's. She says that without reform, they are stuck.
They can't work. They can't drive. They enjoy very few public benefits. And so they're marginalized and they're shoved to the side. And they live in secret enclaves.
Carlos's wife, Maria, is cooking dinner for him before his last check on the corral.
Y ahorita voy a hacer carne con chile, con salsa, y guisé frijoles. Frijoles para los.
The smell of homemade tortillas fills the trailer as Maria cooks the carne asada and beans. She's been happy raising her children on this farm. 2 of them were born in the U.S. and are citizens. She wants to stay here and see them go to college. But she fears for her oldest son, Pedro, who has no documents.
Tengo mucho miedo de que algún día me lo vayan a parar.
I am very afraid, Maria says, that a police officer might stop him one day and send him back to Mexico. Her son, Pedro, actually wants to go back to Mexico. He's 20 and doesn't see a future for himself here. He works in a dairy with his father, but without legal documents, Pedro's options are limited.
I guess, you know, us Mexican people gotta, what do you call it, gotta do the dirty jobs. You know, because it's harder for us to find jobs, so technically we go to the jobs that other people wouldn't do.
Pedro's story is typical of undocumented children who grow up in the United States, says journalist Terry Green Sterling. He's not fully Mexican, but not quite American either.
It's very tough to live in a place where your services are wanted, but you are not accepted into the population at all, even though your cheap labor is used.
We'll continue with Valeria Fernandez's story about Arizona dairy farms in a minute. No se vayan. Quédense con nosotros. Hi, it's me again. This podcast of Latino USA is made possible by contributors to public radio stations. They help pay the freight and cover the costs of making the program available to you to hear when it's convenient. If you're already a member of your public radio station, thanks. If you're not, I hope you'll rethink that decision and make a contribution to support this program and others like it. Visit us at latinousa.org to find a public radio station near you and join the ranks of El Pueblo que Escucha Latino USA. Also, great opportunities exist for companies and organizations to reach the Latino USA audience online, on air, and through these weekly podcasts. If you're interested in having a tremendous impact on the production of this program, consider underwriting Latino USA. For more information, visit us at latinousa.org/support. And thanks for listening. You're listening to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. We continue now with our story about two dairy farms in Arizona.
Labor issues are at the heart of the crisis faced by the dairy industry. 200 miles away, another family desperately needs workers like Carlos and cannot hire them.
We're here on Lunt's Dairy and we're about to deliver a calf.
That's Gerald Lunt, the third generation of Lunt's to operate this dairy on the border between New Mexico and Arizona. He's a talkative, friendly man with a long scar across his forehead, which he got in a childhood farm accident. He's standing in a dirt pen where one of his cows is about to give birth.
Kelly, go ahead and go get me some gloves. Now, this is my daughter, Kelly. I just need a little help, just handing things and stuff like that when we're going to go ahead and deliver it.
He grabs a long metal birthing tool to steady the cow and deliver the calf.
This one's going to come out pretty easy. He'll be out here in just a second. And here he comes. Whoops, don't get dirty anyway, and now he's on the ground.
Lant leaves the newborn for his daughter to look after. He has four children in all, and says growing up on the farm has taught them about life and death. Next, he checks the milking parlor, where more than a dozen cows are being milked by mechanical pumps.
I know a lot of dairies have gone out of business, and it's getting down to us where it's, by the end of the year, if milk hasn't turned around, which I hope it has, we'll have to start looking at something different.
In this shaky economy, Lant's farm is bringing in half of what it did a year ago. And to get by, he started teaching math part-time at a local school. But that's not his biggest problem.
Other than the economy and the price of milk, finding workers and employees are my biggest worry. I mean, I stay up at nights more worried about, okay, where are we going to find somebody to work than anything.
Finding people to work on his farm wasn't always that difficult. When Lant was growing up, he remembers workers just came across the border.
I want to say immigrants from Mexico would just come out here and you just hire them. You didn't question their background. You didn't question everything. In fact, I don't even think they cared that they were that illegal other than Border Patrol would come a while and pick them up and take them, but then they would be right back within a few days.
But today is different. If Lant knowingly hires an undocumented worker, he runs the risk of losing his business license because of the employer sanctions law in Arizona.
They just put enough fear in me that I said we can't hire people that don't have papers, and that's been our rule and law here ever since that became law.
The process of hiring legal immigrant workers is lengthy, complicated, and expensive. Gerald Lant is hoping the federal government creates a new guest worker program that responds to the demands of labor.
I like them where they are tied to a specific job, okay? You know, you agreed to come out of Mexico to work for a farmer, a hotel person, a construction worker, whatever, okay? We will pay you, we will do that, you'll get all the wages that, but then that's where it will end. You know, we're not going to give you citizenship, you're not going to collect Social Security, you're not going to receive some of the benefits that Americans receive.
Gerald Lant knows that the survival of his farm depends on changing the country's immigration laws. At the other dairy farm outside Phoenix, Maria and Carlos are hoping and praying for immigration reform too. These two families would have much to talk about, but they have never met, and there is fear on both sides. Journalist Terry Green Sterling says whatever shape reform takes, there will have to be compromise all around.
Not everybody will be happy about everything, but that's the way it's going to have to work out because we have people with very differing views, and if we're going to get anything done, we're going to have to incorporate opposing views.
When Congress turns its attention to the details of immigration reform, many voices will be loud and divisive. But there is much to learn from the steady talk of the farmers and workers who produce the country's milk every day. Their experiences can point the way to a possible compromise on who can work in this country and under what rules. For Latino USA, I am Valeria Fernandez in Phoenix, Arizona.
That report was produced by Rene Gutel in cooperation with Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School in New York. Go to our website at latinousa.org for pictures from the two dairy farms and to see an essay by a teenager growing up on a farm. Y ahora, algo un poco más personal. And now some personal thoughts on the past couple of weeks. September is always a hard month for me. Even though September 11th happened 8 years ago, it's very easy for me to get right back to the fear I remember so well. 8 years after a lot of talking about my own post-traumatic stress disorder, I am finally, finally able to say that I've gotten a hold of my post-9/11 fear. Osama bin Laden's name doesn't make me tremble inside, nor do the colors of the security alerts. We've been at orange for way too long. So why now is fear the name of the game again? 8 years later, this time the fear is around healthcare. And of course, Americans fall prey once again to fear, and I could easily panic if I had to think about buying my family's health insurance on my own. That really is a financially scary story. But that outburst by Representative Joe Wilson that broke all congressional protocol, his "you lie" scream to the president, was brought on by this fear of undocumented immigrants getting health care? Can we look at the facts? Undocumented immigrants are the ones who use health care in this country the least. They're too afraid to show up at a hospital. But this is where I get stuck. So should we just let undocumented immigrants who are sick stay sick? How can that possibly be good for anyone? An undocumented worker who gets H1N1 from an American citizen, let's say, and this worker is cleaning our homes or washing dishes in a restaurant, and Representative Wilson wants him to stay sick, so then this undocumented worker can make us all sick? That is scary stuff indeed. Scary thinking. But I'm not afraid. I trust that doctors will see beyond the fear and treat us all, so all of us who live in this country won't make each other sick. For this week, this has been Latino USA. Thanks for listening. Latino USA is produced by Walter Morgan, Mincho Jacob, Angela Maldonado, Alex Avila, and Katie Davis. Our executive producer is Sean Collins. We had help this week from John Berman at Channel 13 in New York. Our listener comment line is 800-535-5533. Our email address is lusa@npr.org. And you can visit us online anytime at latinousa.org. Production support for Latino USA comes from KUT Radio, the University of Texas at Austin, the William and Salome Scanlon Foundation of Austin and San Antonio, and the Marguerite Casey Foundation. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next week for another edition of NPR's Latino USA.
We are America's most wanted.
Support for NPR is provided by the Ford Foundation, a resource for innovative people and institutions worldwide, on the web at fordfound.org. By Lumber Liquidators, hardwood flooring for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Catalogs at 1-800-HARDWOOD or lumberliquidators.com. And by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio. To find out how you can reach Latino USA's listeners, visit us online at latinousa.org/support.